At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. Welcome to the first of two shows we're going to do this week. We're going to talk about the Zozo Championship today, the PGA Tour event that's going to start on Wednesday night in the United States in Japan. Then we've got two other events this week we're going to talk about. We've got on the, actually every event this week is in Asia that we're going to talk about. So on the LPGA Tour, they've got the Maybank Championship in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And then we also have the Genesis Championship on the DP World Tour, which is their penultimate event before their playoffs that they've redubbed the two events they have in Abu Dhabi, which moved on the schedule, and in Dubai. So that we've basically got a week in Asia this week. So we're going to do Zozo today. We'll do the other two events tomorrow. There is another event on the schedule, which is the Simmons Bank Championship, which is the PGA Tour Champions' second leg of their playoffs, 54-player field. We didn't talk about it last week. I'm not going to talk about it this week. I have fun betting it. It's really a three-player tour. Although I do want to give a shout-out to Tim O'Neill, longtime grinder. He had an incredible week last week, won for the first time on the PGA Tour Champions. He's a guy who's a veteran of the Advocates PGA Tour. He put on a tremendous performance, really cool guy. And also to David Branston, who had probably the week of his life to jump into the top 54 and assure himself a spot on the PGA Tour Champions next year. That's a huge accomplishment for players like him who struggled to make a name throughout his career. That having that guaranteed money income is a big deal. All right, let's talk about the Zozo Championship. We're back at Accordia Golf, Narashino Country Club, even though they've now just called it Accordia Golf in Chiba, Japan. This is a tournament that does not have an especially long history, but its history of winners is pretty good. Between Colin Morikawa and Hideki Matsuyama, and Keegan Bradley, and Ricky Fowler. You've got Ricky Fowler contending. You've got an interesting set of champions in this tournament and contenders. But the one thing that seems to be the through line in all of it is that they are great ball strikers, not necessarily great putters. And that opens up the door to some different players this week. I think you will see some carryover from what you saw at the Shriners Children's Open at TPC Summerlin, which was obviously a ball strikers course as well because you had to keep it out of the desert. It was a kind of flag hunting tournament. What got in the way was the wind on Friday that made it very clear you're supposed to pick, late early. Or early late, I mean, as opposed to late early, because the early tee times got the brunt of the wind on Friday. And basically, none of them were a part of the equation in the end. Now, you had JT Poston win that tournament, who's a tremendous lag putter, as a generally a good putting stroke. He struggled a little bit on 16 and 17, made a couple of bad shorter strokes, but found in the end, found the two-putt he needed to win the tournament for his third PGA Tour win. One of the guys that's playing this week that did well last week is Kurt Kitayama. He's 22-1. We'll go through the whole board, but he's someone I want to point out here. He is a ball striking kind of guy. He does his damage, I think, best in tournaments where it's a little bit more wide open, but again, he did win at Bay Hill in a very, very difficult setup. This is a little bit narrower. Got to move the ball a little bit. You got to think your way around this golf course just a little bit. It's not an insanely difficult test. You're going to get to probably 15, 16 under unless you get horrible conditions. But that you still got to work your way around this golf course a little bit. So ball striking really is my thing this week. And I think that opens the door to some potentially different players that we haven't talked about in a while or that you really wouldn't typically bet in more of a go-low tournament that we've seen a lot of this fall. Now let's go look at the history of the event from the last 5 years. Obviously recognizing this tournament moved around a little bit. We didn't have it in its typical position for a couple of years because of COVID. So like when Patrick Cantlay won, it wasn't in the United States. So that changes the perspective of the tournament. And you just got to know that going in. So we're really thinking about the last couple of years more than anything. And then go from there. Tiger Woods obviously won here for the 2019 edition of the event, which I, if you're a GNN subscriber, label as 2020 because it's part of the 2020 season. So you'll notice that. You also notice that from last year, you'll see 2024 because, yes, that is not part of the, they don't have the crossover seasons, right? They don't have the wraparound anymore, but just with the nomenclature of the database, kind of have to do it that way. So just so you know that if you're checking out that data here for this week. But if you're looking at players who have finished multiple times in the top 15 here in the last 5 years, you're not going to see many guys, right? You got like a Keegan Bradley. You've got you don't have Cameron Champ. You don't have Corey Connors. Those guys did it one or the other. You got Emiliano Grillo, who's been good the last 2 years in this event. You've got Ryo Hisatsun, who was good here the last 2 years. You've got Sun J.M. with a split ticket, but he was good here last year, tied for 12th. Ryo Ishikawa showed up out of nowhere last year here for a tie for 4th. Takumi Kanaya did well in 2022, which was not here. Then you've got, going down the list, Hideki Matsuyama has won here. He did that in the 2021 edition of the event for the 2022 season. He also did well in 2019, by the way. So his good finishes in this event are both at Accordia Golf. Then you got Colin Morikawa, who's played well the last couple of years. Obviously, he's the defending champion. Matthew Neesmith has played well the last couple of years. Xander Schauffele, split ticket. Both were Accordia Narashino. And that's pretty much the list. Like, this is a 78-player field. There's no cut. Those are things to keep in mind this week. You're getting a guaranteed 4 rounds. If that invites you to take a couple more chances, sure. It's also, there are a lot of the guys in this field who have super long odds, almost to a person or players from the Japan Golf Tour organization, who get spots in this field based on the quality of their play. Ryo Ishikawa's 300-1. He was 4th here last year, but he doesn't play a whole lot of golf outside of the outside of the Japanese tour. So a lot of this is just kind of assuming these players are way worse. Kaito Onishi is an interesting play, I think, here, because he just earned his PGA Tour card through the Korn Ferry Tour. He's 500-1. He won this year. He won at the Stitch Championship in North Carolina, and you might think, where's he going with this? But there is some, very little, parallel between playing in the UNC Championship, and it was very difficult scoring that week, very windy, very much a ball striker's course, and Accordia Narashino. So if you're going to look for a super long shot among the Japan players at 500-1, I think he's a really interesting play, and obviously he's going to have PGA Tour experience moving forward. He got an invite into here. Satoshi Kodaira is 400-1, a former PGA Tour winner, obviously was a fluke winner because he didn't hold onto his card very well, but he's kind of interesting as well. And then I want to just get those guys out of the way real quick before we think about them. Let's go to the top of the table. Xander Schauffele's 9-2 or plus 450, depending on how you want to talk about it. Obviously, he's the best player in the field. 2-time major winner this year, has played well in this tournament. Comes here for a reason with family connections and all that good stuff, but really likes this tournament. But that's an almost unbettable price. It's honestly, same is true for Morikawa at 13-2 and for Hideki at 15-2. Those are unbettable prices for me. I understand why you would like any of them heavily. They all had great years. They've all been tremendous in different ways. But it's just really hard to kind of put your money behind a single-digit multiplier for 4 days. If you're going to do that, you might as well try a top five bet. At least you get plus money on Morikawa and Hideki Matsuyama at plus 130 and plus 150. Then you get down to like Sungjae at 14-1. This is his one start of the fall. If that bothers you, and it probably will, then 14-1 also seems like a terrible price because you don't know what kind of rust he has. I mean, obviously he was part of the President's Cup, but didn't play individual PGA Tour golf this fall so far. That's potentially a concern. Depends on what you think about it. Sahith Theegala is 18-1. I do like him here because I think he'll like the golf course as it demands. It demands creativity, demands a little bit of thinking. He seems to like that the most. Doesn't like just, hey, blast it out there and then hit it in. Justin Thomas is 20-1. We haven't seen him. He didn't play the President's Cup. No idea where he's going to be. But you would think he's playing this because he likes the idea of what he could do here. So take that for what it's worth. Kurt Kitayama, I do like quite a bit at 22-1. Minwoo Lee at 28-1 is interesting to me because he has been playing pretty solid golf for several months now. But it hasn't been golf that's like in the top 10. It's been golf that's been in the top 25, more or less. And that's not winning golf, but he's had a couple cracks at winning. And he was just over there. He's already been over there to play the Macau Open, won the Asian Tour. So maybe there's a comfort there, although the flight from Macau to Chiba, Japan is nothing short. It's not like it's a puddle jumper for him. There was some significant travel involved. Siwoo Kim's 30-1. Doug Gim's 35-1, along with Bo Hostler, Will Zalatoris, and Maverick McNealy. Mav showed some stuff last week. He's a Vegas guy. Zalatoris is, I know that I just said this is not a putter's putting tournament, but he's so bad at putting. It's really hard to get behind that. Bo Hostler is really interesting at 35-1. Doug Gim is too. Gim's really streaky, and he'll throw a great week in there out of nowhere and then just disappear for a month. May want to look at him at a top 10. Bo Hostler got himself in position at the Sanderson Farms. Didn't close the door. Kevin, you got him. 35-1, I think, is a reasonable price. And that you do tend to get winners in this tournament, not out of nowhere, but kind of in this range. Guys who are playing okay or had an okay year, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, that just made their year. Kind of that tends to happen here. So maybe guys in this range are not a bad play. JJ Spahn's an interesting one. Tom Hoge missed the cut last week, kind of disappointed in that. Seamus Power's been playing better. They're 45-1 each. Max Homa's 45-1. It just seems like he's got some confidence back, maybe, which I obviously had a really difficult summer. First half of the year was quite good. Summer stunk. I mean, emotionally stunk. And maybe he's starting to figure it out, trying to get back his game, making a change in the teaching side of things. Harry Hall's 50-1. I think he's worth a look at least. If you want to try to draw the comparison to Colonial, which I don't think is that far off. I mean, the putting surfaces are obviously new at Colonial compared to Accordia Golf, but I don't see that far off of a comparison. Eric Cole, Taylor Moore, Max Gracerman, all 50-1. Johnny Vegas, Sam Stevens, Patrick Rogers, all 55. All pass for me. Chan Kim, Ben Griffin, Andrew Novak, Victor Perez, Ryan Fox, Rico Hoey, Mac Meisner, Patrick Fishburne, all 60-1. Now, I did bet Rico Hoey after the fact, first round leader, after we recorded the show. I bet him that morning and almost got there, thanks to Taylor Pendrith for ruining that. But he did have a really great tournament, and he is a good starter. So you may want to consider him, especially if you look at the weather and you see any visible advantage to his wave over the other. Just worth throwing that out there. He's one of the best players on the PGA Tour statistically in the first round. Also something to throw out there. I like Mac Meisner's game a lot. I'm just not sure how well it travels. Andrew Putnam, Ricky Fowler, 65-1. Matt Kuchar, 70-1. Now we get to some names I do want to point out. K.H. Lee and Adam Svensson, 75 and 80. Takumi Kanaya at 80-1. Is it kind of interesting to me? I think he's fallen off a little bit. C.T. Pan's 90-1. Mark Hubbard's 90-1. Kevin Yu's 90-1, which, I mean, the guy just won. I mean, I realize he's against better competition, but the guy just won. Like, Shugo Imahira, I think, is really interesting, though, at 90-1. He just won the Japan Open. He's had a great season in Japan. He, at one point, was ranked, like, 17th in the world. I mean, it was some kind of absurd mix of how he earned points and just the way tournaments were conducted. But he was really high-ranked up in the world at one point. Made a 55-foot bomb to make to earn the win, his first major tournament in Japan. I know it's not a major championship, but first major tournament in Japan. That 90-1 number is very interesting to me this week. I'm kind of interested in Nick Taylor, too, at 100-1, given the ball striking. And then after that, it starts to get a little dicey. Do you think Joel Damon, realizing this is a no-cut event, he's 129th in the points list, he needs to get inside the top 125. Does he take advantage of this week and go do something special? He's 170-1. I haven't seen it. I feel like he gets down on himself too easily, but that may be a guy to think about, and that would be it for me. Again, I mentioned Kaito Inishi at 500-1, who I think is worth even just a little sprinkle, just a little bit. $2, whatever, a tenth, 5% of your normal wager, just for a fun sweat. I think it's interesting. Beyond that, I'm not going to put a lot of action in this tournament. I tend not to do that in tournaments that I'm almost certainly not going to watch a lot of. It just, I feel weird scrolling on my phone first thing in the morning to go, did I win? Like I played the lottery, which it is. But I don't like that as a bettor. So I just don't get as invested in it. And that's probably why I won't touch this very much. I also don't see a ton of value. I mean, I see some intrigue with Sahith and maybe Sanjay and Kiriyama. I can make the case for all those guys just fine. I think I can make one reasonable case for Hostler. I don't like Zalatoris at that number. I guess you can make that case. I can make one for Harry Hall, but I wouldn't love it. I think I'd take a couple deep shots here and nothing else. Shugo, for sure. He said soon, 110-1. Played well here the last 2 years. Probably worth a thought. Maybe throw in a 170-1 on Joel Damon just for fun. And then a Kaito Inishi, get out of there. And I don't... Just pizza money. Just see what happens. I think that's going to be my plan of action. For total transparency purposes, I have some bonus bets at DraftKings. They're like $5 each. I'm probably just going to throw a bunch of $5 bets at this and see what happens. Much lower than my normal stakes. But at least I feel better waking up and going, oh, I lost with a bonus bet as opposed to real American dollars that will cost me real American money. So that's probably going to be my plan of action here this week. I do enjoy the tournament. I just think there's just not enough here to really feel like you've got any kind of edge. So even with current form, and I know a number of the players that played in Las Vegas last week made the trek over here, it's kind of been a weird change to the fall that most of the players are just grinding their way through. They're just going to keep on playing to make sure they get in their top 125 or have their chance in the top, the 51 through 60 range for those first two domestic signature events, the mainland events. That just means you're going to get guys who can swoop in and win because they're fresh, and guys who are probably tired because they've played a lot. That doesn't seem like a great mix for betting, just me personally. But if you've got thoughts, you've got questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on social media at Ryan Ballingy or at Golf News Net. Join Golf News Net for $40 a year, $60 for 2 years, or $80 for 3 years for a fall special at golfnewsnet.com. You also get a monthly shout out on Golf News Net TV. We're adding that benefit in now that the TV channel is launching in the next couple of days on streaming services, not just on our website. So we've got lots of benefits to being a member. So thanks to those of you who are members. Thanks to those of you who are joined. If you got questions, please reach out. Be back with another show tomorrow. We'll talk about the other two events, major events of the week in Asia. Get through those for you and hopefully give you some good tips for the week ahead. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on The Press.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.